classic fear full of void. And when the relationship is not chaotic, I find it boring and I'll stay away from it. When the relationship is chaotic, I'm like, I'll stick to that. And then obviously that has its own side effects. That was my life.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike DiZio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike DiZio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
My guest today is a data engineer and is passionate about personal development and coaching. She's certified in Thais Gibson's Integrated Attachment Theory program, and she helps people to make sustainable plans to get unstuck in their careers and personal lives. Podcast viewers and listeners, I'd like to welcome Athira Das. Hello, Athira. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Very good. Thanks for joining us today. So, Athira, I just want to start out. You want to briefly let our audience know kind of about your background, your backstory. You want to touch on what life was like growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in India. I'm from a place called Kerala in the southern part of India. So I did my undergrad and schooling over there. And then I was working in the tech sector in Bangalore, again in India, for like 3 years. And then I moved to the US in 2016 for my master's. I did schooling. I did my master's in Chicago. And then like right now, I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area working in one of the tech companies as a data engineer. Growing up, it was kind of interesting, the typical Indian parenting and Indian culture and everything. Sometimes it's like very demanding. It's not just the parents, right? The entire culture is kind of like asking you to do more and more, which kind of creates all these core wounds. So it was interesting. And for me personally, coming over here and getting familiarized with the American way of living, I'm not saying that one is better or, you know, one is worse or anything like that, but it was slightly different. And I'm trying to understand what happened to me while growing up. And, you know, it's what I thought was normal was not really normal. In the culture, it was normal. But now when I look back at it, I'm just like, okay, these are the things that created all these core wounds and all that. So yeah, that's my background. And my family is my mom, dad, and I have a brother. So my dad passed away a few months ago. So yeah, that's my family.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Athira. I was just curious, for anyone who doesn't know, Indian culture, would you say, just due to the fact there's a billion plus people in the country, there's a lot of pressure? And, you know, did you have a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure on your shoulders to sort of perform and do well for the family? Was it that type of pressure going on?
Yeah, so I think it's the culture of a developing country, right? So I grew up in a middle-class family in India. So education is very important. The only way to kind of achieve something in life is to get a good education, get a good job. So the overall culture is framed for like be good at studies. And so if you got 98 out of 100, then the question would be like, oh, where did that 2 marks go? You know, that's the kind of culture over there. And if you're good at studies, you'll get rewarded. If you're not good at studies in the traditional system, right, you know, you get rewarded. So that's, you know, and too much of focus on following a traditional path, you do go to school, then go to engineering, get a degree in engineering. So there are like only, I would say, two jobs which I consider to be good in India, like right. Engineering and medicine. Everything right. Else is like maybe law also could be, I don't know, it could be different. So that's it. So if you don't end up doing any of these, you're a failure. So a lot of children growing up kind of feel like, so my brother, he's in the creative space, he's actually doing cinematography. And he was criticized for choosing that career. People were like, oh, you don't want to study, that's why you took that job, which is not the reality. So in terms of choosing your life, there are certain paths that you can choose, which are established and which are successful. And if you do something different than that, then, you know, it's not good or it's not ideal. So I did the traditional path. And now I'm like, you know, a part of it was societal pressure than my passion. So
right, right. Kudos to your brother to kind of take the non-traditional path, because Approval from our parents is really a big thing, right? So if we're going against them and they're not sort of giving us their blessings, it can be a lot of worry and fear and anxiety. But I think most parents, once they see that you're actually doing okay and making money and made a good career for yourself, then they kind of ease up. But totally understand how, yeah, they sort of want you to be in a high profile career right away. So I want to talk about your own personal healing for your own life. Was there a moment? Was there a catalyst? At what point did you say, okay, I need to sort of dive into my own healing? This needs to be paid attention to.
Similar to like many people who join PDS, I also started discovering about like attachment style and everything after a breakup. But I think more than the breakup, I realized that I am not very sure what I, you know, that I was in fearful avoidance. So basically that a flip-flop, you know, you experience that flip-flop in everything, like relationships, friendships, career, everywhere. So, you know, more than the breakup, I was like, I need to figure out what's happening in my head. So I've had phases where you hit the kind of like rock bottom. And then, you know, I consider myself as a pretty resilient person. So I'll come out of that. I'll be okay in life, but I'm not addressing the root cause of that issues. So my coping mechanism was my career. I kind of invested everything in my career and I'm growing in my career, then I'm happy. But everything else is a mess, including relationships, right? So, and relationships also, I was a classic fearful avoidant. When the relationship is not chaotic, I find it boring and I'll stay away from it. When the relationship is chaotic, I'm like, I'll stick to that. And then obviously that has its own side effects. So
Right.
that was my life. And I think after that breakup, which happened in 2021, I was like, I need to figure out what's happening to me. And that's how I discovered the school and started my healing journey.
Right. So you mentioned that you came into the school because of a breakup. Was it sort of surprising, or were you just kind of shocked at how, after a while, you get to learn more about yourself instead of sort of focusing more on the other person and healing from the breakup? Did you sort of benefit in all the other ways that make you look inside and sort of deal with your own wounds?
So in the beginning, it was all about the other person. I just wanted to understand what's happening with the other person so that I can kind of like fix the relationship. I did not know something was bothering me or something was wrong with me. I was like, oh, this is how it is, you know, this is how relationships should be. I think in the beginning, it was that the first couple of months, it was all about understanding the other attachment style. So initially, I thought I was an EP because I was with an avoidant person and I was very anxious. I was pulled back to my anxious side and I thought I was an EP and I started watching Thais's course. And I'm like, to be honest, my trust issues were showing up there itself. Like, I didn't even trust PDS or Thais. I was like, oh, this is just like a marketing thing. She's just talking about all these things in the YouTube video because people will enroll. And like, you know, she can make money. That's what I was thinking. But then there was a free 7-day course. I was like, okay, I'll check this out. And then like, if it's good, I'll continue. Otherwise, I'll stop. And then I binged the all avoidant TA videos in the beginning. And then I started watching AP because in the test also, I was showing up as AP. But I couldn't relate to it completely. Like, there are certain things that I could relate to it, but certain things I couldn't. And then I discovered there's something called fearful avoidant. Let me just watch that course as well, just out of curiosity. When I watched that video, I was like, oh, this is me. And I think after that, I kind of understood that I need to fix these things. And I started focusing on myself and my journey. So in the beginning, it was all about the other person, maybe for a few weeks. And then after that, it was just all about me. It was really fascinating to kind of understand what's happening in my brain. So it was almost like I felt like she was talking to me, you know, when I was watching their courses.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it's so interesting. I think your story and so many others, they come into the school and it's all about kind of like why did this happen? Why did this other person do that? A lot of focus is on the other person, but then when you start to see that, well, it's kind of your wounds that are attracting you and keeping you in these sort of unhealthy dynamics. Not consciously, you're not obviously, people don't want to be in an unhealthy relationship and they won't choose people who treat them bad or disrespect them or don't meet their needs. But if the subconscious comfort zone in the way that you're treating yourself, if you're not meeting your own needs, if you're not paying attention to yourself, if you're not being vulnerable with your own self, you're setting up the subconscious comfort zone for someone else to be reinforcing those things. So it's really wonderful how, because we could all leave someone if they're unhealthy. And a lot of people are always like, oh, leave that person, he's toxic. But if you haven't changed the core wounds that sort of led you, for that dynamic in the first place, the next person you're going to be with is kind of going to be like the same story. And I'm sure we could all notice, sort of, if we look at our patterns of people that we've dated, if we don't do any healing work, it's kind of the same type of situations over and over and over. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add, like you mentioned toxic relationships, right? When you are unhealed, you don't even realize those are toxic relationships. But for me, I was like, oh, this is how it should be. Like, and there's a lot of romanticization happening in the media and movies and everything where, oh yeah, a relationship should be like with all the drama and like all the chaos. And yeah, you're believing it in a way. Yeah.
It's so true. Like you said, if that's your norm, if you grew up in sort of chaos, then chaos to you feels extremely normal. And these giant emotional swings and, you know, fights and makeups and all that stuff, that feels like a normal relationship, right? So it's really interesting. So I was curious, how long ago did you hear about attachment theory? And like, did you have an aha moment where you're like, oh my gosh, I need to dive into this a little more?
Yeah, I heard about, like, I kind of started researching about attachment theory around 2021, right before I found PDS. You know, initially I was just curious, but once I discovered the attachment style, especially about fearful attachment, but an attachment style, I think the most fascinating thing about understanding why you are the way you are, that was important. Like, you know, growing up in the chaotic environment and that kind of resulting in your attachment style and the way you look at the world and romantic relationships, that was interesting for me. And the flip-flop, there are moments like this is a bit before PDS. I think I'm like asking myself, like, what do you want? Like, do you want to be in a relationship or do you not want to be in a relationship? Because I'm very happy when I'm not in a relationship. I'm very independent and self-sufficient. But at the same time, I want a relationship. The moment you get into a relationship, it doesn't feel good. So I asked myself, like, okay, what is that you want? Like, just make up a decision, make a decision and, like, you know, move on. But when I was watching the Fearful Avoidance course, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going through, like that inability to commit to a relationship at the same time, wanting that was kind of interesting. And the overall core wounds, like, you know, she talks about, like, you have some sort of a shield in front of you, which is covered with all these core wounds, and then you view the world through that lens. And that was kind of interesting. When you look through the lens of this core wounds, the incident looks like slightly different. So I think core wounds plus the whole understanding about FA attachment style was fascinating, and it was like an aha moment for me.
Definitely, that's amazing. I'm so happy to hear that. So I know you obviously mentioned you're fearful avoidant. When you were in sort of the height of your fearful avoidant state, what was some of the most like difficult parts about being a fearful avoidant attachment style?
Yeah, for me, like specifically in terms of relationships, I would say that I wanted that extra drama in relationships. I wanted that chaos. And before PDS, the relationship that I were in had that extra chaos. And I thought that is how it should be. And it's not like I didn't meet any good men or secure men. Mm-hmm. I did. But when there is calmness and stability and security in the relationship, I'm like, no, this is boring and I don't want that. We hear that often, FAs mentioning that secure relationships are just boring. And I did feel that. So it's kind of interesting now when I look back at my relationships or like people that I've met, it's not even, it doesn't even reach to a relationship stage with secure men in the past life. So I was like, I was actually pushing them away when they were consistent and when they were giving me what I wanted. And I would stick with people who are making my life chaotic. So looking back, it just makes total sense. But that time, I thought that's how it should be.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for sure. And I know you're very career-focused, career-driven. Career is a big part of your life. How did your attachment style affect you at work specifically?
So when I started doing PDS, I was like, this is just for relationships. It'll help you to become secure and find secure relationship. And I was just focused on that. But once I started doing the work, it's like, that's an important thing that I want to share with like people also. It's not like the relationship that will get improved. Every single area, your career, financial, physical, mental, everything will get improved. And for me, I started seeing a lot of changes pretty early in my career area of life. Relationship took some more time because it was a little more deeper and scary for me. But career, I started seeing changes I was comfortable in saying no to people, setting up boundaries, and also some of the core wounds of like not enough, not worthy, imposter syndrome. I did feel like I'm faking it at work. So those things like got improved a bit, improved a lot. And then I would say that chaos, right? This, you know, I used to have this burnout phase and then there's a recovery phase. So that also changed a bit. And I would say the needs was also another thing. What are the needs that are met in my career so that I can show up better at work? And yeah, a lot of things. I would say the way I look at career also changed. My job also changed after the year.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's so true. It doesn't just affect romantic relationships. That's sort of the primary thing that a lot of people focus on. But really, when you eliminate some of these core wounds, by nature, you're going to be making improvements in a lot of different areas. If you have a, like, I'm not good enough core wound, definitely that's going to affect maybe your finances, where you might not feel worthy. Or like an I'm unworthy core wound. You might not feel worthy of abundance or making a lot of money. So it's really wonderful how, yes, you can work on these core relationships, but these core wounds, they go deep and they affect all areas of life. So, and career especially. So that's really great that you made those shifts. I was just doing some research on some videos, and it was showing attachment style challenges in the workplace, but also sort of superpowers. So each insecure attachment style, it shows they have challenges. DAs might not want to be team oriented, and they might not take place in the interpersonal relationships as much. So some people might view them as a little more cold or not caring, but they also have a superpower of being able to work independently and applying logic and intellect to situations. So everybody kind of has a balance, but it's good to look at your superpowers or the advantage you have, but also you want to know your challenges because, you know, if they're like a blind spot and then you keep sort of, you know, suffering, or you might even burn out from some of them, especially from fearful avoidant. Fearful avoidant have a lot of wounds that can sort of burn them out because they're, you know, feeling they have to earn their worth and show their worth and, you know, not say no to people, things like that. So I definitely, and you probably agree with this, that doing this work, very helpful for a fearful avoidant in the workplace specifically. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I just want to add something, like when you heal, there are a lot of good things or some of the traits that we acquired because of insecure attachment styles. Like one example is like DA being independent and all that, right? Once you heal the attachment style, you are healing only the negative things, and all those strengths you can still keep it, and you kind of become a super human in a way. Like, you know, you still have all those strengths, but at the same time, you know, you kind of remove the core wounds and everything, and that's just better for you. It's probably better than someone who is just born secure. I would say it's a good thing when you heal your attachment style. You're healing from a place of struggle and all that, and it kind of makes you more resilient and appreciate yourself more than maybe like someone who's just like born secure.
I love that you mentioned that because I think sometimes you're worried that you're going to lose some of the things that are really helpful for a fearful avoidant. Sometimes hypervigilance is
Yeah.
one of their superpowers. So, you know, if they're in a job where they need to notice changes in behavior, you know, or you're a therapist or a doctor or a lawyer, like really beneficial to be able to note like the slightest shifts in behavior. And yeah, you might be worried like, geez, like this really helps me in my job. I'm going to lose this. But you'll still maintain some of those things. And also, like you said, get rid of some of the things that are causing you pain and suffering. Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. So previously to doing the work, what are some examples of issues that would come up for you in relationships, specifically over and over?
Yeah, relationships, I think one thing was not setting up boundaries,
Nothing.
speaking up for myself. I think that was one huge problem. I was not able to tell, like, this is what I need and this is what I expect. And, you know, I'll just keep, you know, quiet. So the unseen, unheard core wound was just playing all that over there. That has changed tremendously in my current relationship. We are able to communicate, like, you know, hey, this is not working out. This is something I would like to change in the relationship. And, you know, that has changed quite a bit. And also, I would say understanding my own needs, right? Like, what am I expecting in a relationship? What are my needs in a relationship? Those were not very clear for me. I didn't even know that there was something called needs before PDS. So
Yeah, same.
yeah, I think, yeah, most of us are like that. Like, you know, there's something called needs. Okay, interesting. I would say communicating, speaking up for myself, understanding my needs, setting up boundaries, and also this balance of everything in life, right? Like relationship is one part of it, and there are other things. You don't have to go all or nothing in your life, and that's an another classic trait of a fearful avoidant. When they're in a relationship, they're fully into it or completely out of it. You don't have to be like that. You can have balance in life, and you don't need chaos. That's, I would say, one of the biggest learnings. You know, you can have a peaceful relationship where you communicate everything, where there is transparency and mutual trust. That was very alien to me at that time.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to the black and white thinking and all or nothing. You know, if somebody does something, somebody makes a mistake, you're like, I knew it, I can't trust this person. But really, like, you're gonna make mistakes, other humans are gonna make mistakes. And you know, if we do apply the black and white thinking to everything, we're really gonna have these big swings, right? We need to sort of be able to see the gray area and have discussions around those things. But wonderful to hear that you know you now speak up if something's not sitting well with you or there's something you feel that like that's on your chest. Now you get to sort of share that and not have that like extreme fear of just sharing what's going on for you in a situation. That's really great. Okay, so I wanted to ask if anybody's listening who is fearful avoidant. If they're starting this journey, what area do you think they should maybe first tackle, or what would you say to them is a good first place to start?
Yeah, I think for me personally, it was the stories in your head, like understanding some of the larger stories. And I think the first thing would be accepting, okay, these stories exist in your head, and accepting it as your stories, and then try to question them. So basically the emotional processing tool, right? Like, okay, some stories is coming up, and then you kind of list down opposing evidences of that stories. And sometimes the stories might be true, right? That's the beauty about hypervigilance. Sometimes you pick up something and sometimes it can be true. But you know, even if it's true, just sit with yourself and question all these stories and kind of differentiate the made up ones and the real ones. That is a good place to start. And I've had a very interesting journey in the beginning, and I've heard many FAs like talking in the school also. In the beginning, it's looming. There is this overwhelming emotions when you are discovering yourself, and that's okay. That's normal. And you know, sometimes when people get into this overwhelming state, they'll quit and they will not continue their journey. But I would suggest just stay with that. It'll be uncomfortable for like a few months, but then it'll get better and better. And once you kind of unravel that story, and once you're efficient in figuring out the story and reality, I would say like just focus on your needs, and then you know you're gonna have a beautiful life. And it's like years of conditioning and trauma that you're trying to fix in like a few months. If you get overwhelmed in the beginning, just give yourself some time and take it at your pace. I was just rushing in, like I was just okay, I want to like today, if I can become secure today, that would be great. But sometimes that's not possible, so give yourself some time and take it at the pace that you're comfortable with.
Totally. That's a good reminder. And I think, you know, fearful avoidance, when they decide they're going to do something, they go 50% into it, which can be good for some things, you know, like, I don't know, the gym or at your job sometimes. But for this type of healing work, you know, like you said, you're undoing sort of like a lifetime of core wounds. So this can kind of bring up a lot of emotion and feelings. And it's sort of something you got to not decide, you know, if things are getting a little too much, to pull back a bit, you know, stop, take time, and then go back to it. I don't think just trying to plow through it will be productive. But you know, definitely that's something to keep in mind. And I'm glad you brought that up.
I just wanted to pop in here and let you know we are doing a 7-day free trial to the All Access Membership Pass at PDS, which means you get access to literally everything inside of the school. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer, or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend this to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there.
So I wanted to talk to you about your coaching and your coaching experience. Is there an area that you specialize in or that you focus on specifically?
Yeah, so I am focused on the career area of your life. So I'm doing similar type of coaching, but specifically for the career area of your life. And I do like one-on-one coaching. And the principles are pretty much the same. I help you figure out your limiting beliefs and core wounds and your needs, but specifically to grow in the career area of your life.
I like that. And what would you say specifically, and I know this was an issue for me in the past, but if someone is having a hard time finding a career that they're passionate about, what is something that you could leave with our viewers today? What advice would you give to somebody who knows that maybe they're not happy with what they're doing, or maybe they're a young person and they're deciding what they want to do for life? What's some advice you can give about finding your passion and career?
Yeah, I think the way I go about it is basically, you know, in the beginning of the session, you kind of ask them to, I ask the clients to tell me their like dream career. Like, you know, suppose nothing is stopping you, money, geography, nothing is stopping you. And you're not listening to anyone's judgment or anything like that. What is a dream career? And they kind of give you a beautiful picture of a career that is in alignment with your personality needs.
Yeah.
So that's how I start. And in the beginning, there'll be a lot of limiting beliefs and, you know, core wounds and all that, which are like kind of pulling them back from achieving something. So initially tackle on that core wounds and limiting beliefs and the stories that you have in your mind, like, oh, I want to do this, but like, you know, like try to focus on that, but, and then later you kind of go to the needs part of it, identify what your personality need is, and then you kind of understand, you know, your top personality needs. Like Thais often talks about it, when you have a career which is in alignment with your personality needs, it won't feel like a job, it'll feel like just an extension of your life, right? And then there's a reality part, like you might want to have a job which is not in demand at the moment. There's certain jobs which are like, ultimately all of us want to make a living and, you know, make money and grow in your career and all that. Sometimes maybe your dream career is not what the world needs at this moment. Like, you know, there is this whole revolution of AI happening, right? Maybe your dream career might be replaced by AI sometime in future. But then the ideal thing that you would do over there is, like, these are my dream job. And these are the roles, you know, these are the needs that I would like to meet. And these are the jobs that are available to me right now, or which is good in demand. And then kind of find an overlap. This itself is a whole process where you kind of map what you want and what the world needs in a way, and right. Then find a superimposed image of like, okay, so you might have to sacrifice on something. Like at the end, you might find, you maybe you discovered that you want to find, you have a huge need for autonomy and say independence, and a career that you can choose is probably becoming a business person. But then when you become a business person, you kind of have certain things that you might want to sacrifice, certain skill set that you want to develop, which you might not have at the moment. And then that is your job to kind of hone in those skills and develop them during the process.
I love that. Yeah, I know for my own life, you know, I was handed the book of, I don't know, 50 different careers you can choose from. And I didn't think I resonated with any of them. And I was really nervous because I was like, okay, I'll just start trying different careers in different fields. And I've had so many different careers, but a lot of them I only lasted a year or two because it just didn't feel right. If somebody told me early on, what would you do if there were no limitations on yourself, on whatever job you want, then you can start to see, okay, what do I like to do? What do I like to do for fun when I'm not working? What do I put my attention on? What conversations do I like to have? You know where I'm going with this. The needs course asks you those questions. And it really brings out, okay, what is my subconscious mind naturally trying to push me towards and sending me signals? And when I feel really uplifted and passionate, what are the things I'm doing when that happens? And then if you can tie that into a job, whew, you're going to be pretty successful, because like you touched on, you'll have that natural energy, you'll feel satisfied, you'll be more present. There's just so many good things. And it just seems more doors open up to possibilities when you know what your natural needs are. So that's something.
And you might find something like unique to you. It might not be something that is existing in the world right now, or maybe not in the exact way that you want it, but you can create your own career, you know. That's what I like about designing your life the way you want, right? Yeah, that can also happen. You might find like a new career for yourself, which is
100%. When you're sort of given that permission to open your mind into, like, you know, looking into where do you think there's a need? Like, because we all know things where we know, like, oh, I know this is inefficient, I could do this better, or I know there's something I can do to improve this. Like, but if we actually went for it and put our effort and energy into that, who knows, the sky's the limit. And if you're thinking there's a need for something, or the way that something can be improved, I guarantee you, like, hundreds or thousands of people are thinking the same thing. So yeah, it's inspiring just to know that, you know, you can sort of take it wherever you want to go. It's awesome. Okay, so in your training with integrated attachment theory, where you train with Tice, is there any tool within that you learn that really works well with clients as far as career coaching goes?
Yeah, I think that in the beginning, when the client is coming to me in the very first stages of maybe the first two or three sessions, the story question, so most of my clients are FA. I think you kind of naturally gravitate towards FAs. But yeah, so the questioning, the stories helps in the beginning when they say that, like, hey, I want to do this. But like, okay, then I'm helping them to question their own stories. And then later in the next session, they'll be like, oh, I know it's a story. They are telling me instead of me asking them questions. So that helps in the beginning, the storytelling or story questioning part, which is the emotional processing tool. And then later I'd introduce a needs course. And cold wounds is also like, you know, it's kind of parallel. It goes in parallel. And then I would say when the storytelling ends, that I introduce the core wounds, you know, to questioning that. And that helps. And then once they kind of work on some of the core wounds, you see this major shift in their attitude and the way they talk and everything. And then I introduce the needs part where they are finding the true version of themselves. That's how it's structured. But it obviously changes for each client. But these are the, I would say, the three tools that I use with like almost all the clients to discover who they are.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I wanted to shift into relationship talk a little bit. What do you think are some of the most sort of common issues that you hear people struggling with? And why do you think this is so hard for so many people?
Even though that's an interesting thing, most of the clients that come to me, they come with a career issue. Like,
right.
I want to fix this problem in my career. But then the deeper you get into, you know, the conversations about career, sometimes the root cause is like something is not working in their relationship. And then we kind of touch about like relationships also. It becomes a whole package. Like life, it's going to overlap. Your career is going to affect your relationship and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So the most common thing, maybe it's because most of my clients are FAs, the boundaries, speaking up for themselves. You know, they usually set boundaries when, after not setting up boundaries for multiple times, then their FA will put a hard boundary, which is not good for the relationship also. That's what I see the most. And also, like, they just get engulfed in the relationship and then everything else, like, falls apart. And they feel like, okay, this relationship is not working and this is a reason for everything else. So let me just put it aside. So, yeah, that's the pattern I see most with my clients, that not having boundaries. The boundary is not just for the other person, even for themselves, having that mental boundary.
Right, right. And then as far as just relationships overall, what would you say to the audience? What is something that's really important to keep a relationship in a healthy place? Like, what's something that's an ingredient that needs to be there in order to have a healthy relationship?
I can talk about what I do in my relationship. I think the most beautiful thing about my current relationship is ability to communicate, whether it's good or bad. That's also important. You have to talk about what's going good in your relationship and also certain things that is not working out for you. In the beginning, when we started dating, we had this monthly check-ins. We'll come together, on a weekend every month, and then what's going good? What would you like to change? And what would you like to continue? It's like start, stop, continue kind of a thing. So I work in the both of us work in the tech industry, and there's a lot of project management things that are happening. And we kind of implemented a version of that in our life. So start, stop, continue.
The waterfall or the agile method?
It's more agile.
Was he on, was that something you suggested? And he was like, wow, like I'm on board with this. Or is this something that he might have been doing in previous relationships? Like, was he open to it right away?
This particular thing about monthly check-ins is something that I suggested, and he was like, yeah, I mean, let's just do it. That's amazing. Now we don't do it, but now it comes like you don't have to wait for that month to kind of talk about things. Okay, something is not working out now, then we are able to communicate like, hey, I would like you to change this, or maybe like I'm not liking it when you do this. And then we come up with a solution that I have to give credit to my partner for that. Every time there is either me or him raising an issue, the next thing that he's thinking about is like, how can we change it? How can I change so that it doesn't happen? So and then we think about like solutions instead of sitting with the problem. And also appreciating like, hey, I like what you did for me that day. So I would say the most important thing is communication. And it kind of like when you have good communication, there is obviously more transparency, more trust, and more like, either you're appreciating both, right? So more love, more, affection. Everything happens when you have good communication. So more understanding. So if I can just give like if I can get, tell you like this is the only thing that you need to do in a relationship, that would be communication.
I'm just curious. Such a beautiful process, and I know it's very valuable. Does the partner say, hey, it's nice to say what's going well. That's going to be, nice feelings, and we're going to have a fun time sharing that. Is there like the partner saying, listen, when you start sharing the things that are not going well or that you're not happy with, I want you to know that whatever you share with me, I'm not going to like get angry, or I'm not going to reject you or abandon you or make you feel shame. Like, is there sort of a vibe, or is it communicated that this is a safe sharing space, and whatever you share with me, I'd rather hear what's going on for you, and then we can work on it rather than you worry that you're going to say something that's going to upset me.
Yeah, I think that's the in the beginning, the process of like having that time, and that's also something that again, that's again a project management thing. There is a formal feedback session, right? And you're not telling, hey, something like you are this horrible person. That's not what's happening there. It's more like, hey, these are the things that are bothering me in this relationship. It's more about me than me blaming you. So that helped in the beginning. And there are incidents like, personally for me, certain things that he mentioned, I was like, okay, that's not what I am, or that's not who I am, and that's not what I'm trying to do. And there are instances where it did feel bad, but then the intention of that whatever time was not to blame each other, but to find solutions. So when you find solutions, you're not really blaming the other person. This is a problem in the relationship. Let's just find solutions. So that's how we trained ourselves, like right now, because of all that communication happened pretty early in the relationship. Now when if something is communicated in real time, I know that this person is not communicating or saying something bad about me or really or this relationship. Not this is not to criticize me. This is for improvement of the relationship, which is essentially good for me also. So we've reached that place now. In the beginning, yeah, there were instances where okay, I didn't feel good. Okay, why are you pointing this to me? But I think you train yourself enough to reach that place.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's really lovely. Okay, so I wanted to ask you a little bit about like rituals. Is there anything that you're doing daily that sort of keeps you in a good place in your job and your relationship and just your everyday life? Any rituals that you're doing every day?
I try to meditate every day in the morning. As soon as I wake up, have a cup of coffee, and then I meditate for like 10, 15 minutes. That's something I've been doing for a very, very long time. And after that, I think rituals change based on the phase that I'm in. There was a phase when I was doing, a high intensity workout. Now we are into rock climbing, so we kind of need the need for physical exercise. It's not just for your body, right? It's for your mind as well. So that's something we try to do now. Yeah. And then it changes. Like there was a phase when I go for drives for my own mental health, yeah.
Sure.
But the meditation is something which I do every
Yeah.
single day.
Okay, wonderful. So we're coming towards the end of today's interview. Just a couple more questions. I was wondering if you could share a tool or a habit or a strategy with the audience that can help them improve their either their lives or their relationships with their loved ones.
I would say every single tool that PDS is offering, the emotional processing tool, the core wounds reprogramming, order suggestion, visualization, the needs course, everything is useful, but it's important to pick the right tool depending on the stage that you are in your healing. The early days, I think the emotional processing tool is very effective, but once you become really good with your story, questioning your stories and regulating your emotions, you know, I mean, the core wounds also like kind of happens parallelly. Then right now, my favorite tool is like need, like when I'm need the needs tool, when I'm doing something, okay, what is the need that I'm trying to meet is what I'm asking myself. So, yeah.
And I know you mentioned to me you might be doing a career switch of your own. Do you want to
Yeah.
let us know about that?
Yes. So right now I work at Meta as a data engineer and I'm planning to pivot completely into coaching, specifically career coaching. And I'm planning, you know, to go back to school, get some formal education, and continue practice coaching as a side thing. So getting my education and coaching at the same time. Yeah, that's like I'm pivoting full time into coaching, and I'm excited for that.
Oh yeah, for sure. That is exciting. Okay, and lastly, how can people get in touch with you if they did want to work with you and, you know, especially in the career space, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I do have a website out there which is called www.grahamahout.com. So you can book an appointment with me either for just one-on-one career coaching or interpersonal relationship coaching directly from the website. I also have an Instagram page if you wanna, you know, connect with me on Instagram. That's also available.
Yeah, wonderful. And we'll put those up in the show notes so people can contact you there. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your story, and just all the lovely things you had to say. It was really informative, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast today.